Oh, yeah, that's better. I thought your pastor would have it up higher just because he's so short. There, that feels better. Man, I tell you, this thing swings on you. Well, if I fall off, just come pick me up, one of you boys. Well, three of you boys. Go over with me to this morning to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 9. In your Bibles, Nehemiah in chapter 9. I'll give you a second to get there. Let me tell you about the time my wife and I were in when I was first saved. I didn't know the chapters of the Bible where they were. And a pastor was preaching, I believe it was in Nehemiah. And so every week we'd be sitting in church if the pastor gave a text. And I would be looking to see which direction she was turning in her Bible. So she started to turn towards the Old Testament, I go to the same place. And then I look to see where she stopped, and I could pretty much guess where she was at, you know, and find the book of the Bible. And after just a couple of weeks of me doing that, I can't remember what he said, but he said something about some other book of the Bible he's going to preach out of that morning. And she's over here in the New Testament going like this. And then I look and she's in the Old Testament, you know, starts laughing at me. That is pretty funny because she got me going the wrong direction. Now this morning for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the thought of do you want revival? You have to forgive me. I got to sit down. My knee is bothering me today pretty bad. And it swells up on me every now and then. And then my right ankle is shot. So I got a brace for my right ankle, but they don't have it fit right yet. Because my foot goes like this, rides on the side, and my ankle bone sticks way out in the side of my foot. So, you know, that's life. You get old, you fall apart, amen. I'm just sort of glad that parts aren't falling off. That's Nehemiah chapter 9. And I want to begin reading with you if you follow along in verse 1. We're going to just read down verse 1 through verse 3. It says, now on the 20th and 4th day of the month, or this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Now, did you pick up on that? Landon, would you give me my water, please? They stood and they confessed their sins in the midst of the congregation. So it's not like they were taking turn, I don't believe, coming, and I don't believe it was this one. I think they were just starting to, God was breaking their hearts, amen. And they started confessing the sins that were in their lives and the things that they had been doing. Now, he says in verse 3, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. So if you had a 12-hour day, you'd say it'd be three full hours, you know. Usually what from daylight to dark is what that would be, so it's probably more like almost four hours. So this is, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, of the law of their Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they read from the Word of God, and then as a result of reading the Word of God, what did they do? They confessed and they worshiped the Lord. If you get a thought here in verse 1 through 3 on you cannot, in fact, the title of this morning is Do You Want Revival? So here's what I got. You cannot have revival without God's truth being proclaimed. It's not going to happen. How do you get revival? You read, you're in the Word of God. You're reading the Word of God. You're studying the Word of God. God deals with your heart about something, and you take care of that and get that thing right with God. And that is where revival begins, between you and the Lord as a believer in Jesus Christ. So you can't have revival without God's truth being proclaimed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says this: "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save some," or to save them that believe. What? Preaching with what? Are they just preaching? No, they're preaching the Word of God. And it takes the Word of God, which brings you under conviction, which brings me under conviction. Before you got saved, you came under conviction somehow, either for somebody is preaching to you, or somebody at a church, or reading a tract, and you saw that you needed to be saved, you realized that you were a sinner, and you were under great conviction by the Holy Spirit that you might put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon Him to forgive you for your sin. So he says, again, he says, after that, in the wisdom of God, in the world by of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Listen, wise people don't know God if they're not saved. They don't know Him. So he says, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Look at Ephesians with me for a moment, the book of Ephesians. And let's just look at a couple of verses over there in the book of Ephesians. Let me get myself over there. Ephesians in chapter 4, and down to verse 22, we read this, 22. He says, we're going to read 22 through 32, that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now he's speaking to Christians. We are to put off the old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means your mind being changed. And he says how, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, he says, of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then he says in let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, he says, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. Even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake, we are to forgive one another. Now let me ask you a question about forgiveness from God. You were not forgiven for your sins until you asked for it, until you trusted Christ. Forgiveness was there, and it was already ready to be applied to you. Amen? You understand? It was already ready to be applied to you in your life, but you did not get it until you received it, or until you accepted it, or until you believed it and trusted Christ as your personal Savior. That's when you got the forgiveness. So, and forgiveness, if someone comes to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, and they've done something that has morally wrong, or something wicked, or something just that hurt your feelings, and if they say, "I'm sorry, would you forgive me?" What are you supposed to do? Forgive them. Amen? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do, forgive them. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Amen? It's easier said than done. But it doesn't matter how easy it is said, it still needs to be done. We still need to do that as believers in Christ. Look at chapter 5 of the same text of Ephesians, verse 1 through 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. They don't have a place because of it's not because of what they're doing they don't have a place. It's because what they're doing is showing that they've never been saved by the very grace of God. So we need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with the Lord. So do you want revival? Well, you can't have it without God's truth being proclaimed. You need to be in the Word of God. If you really want revival, really want change in your life, other than you're saved, praise the Lord, that's great change, but there's more to salvation than just getting saved. So we need to get involved in the very Word of God. And then the second thought, back with me in our text in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 9. The first one, again, he says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and in the iniquities of their father. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law. And now, for one fourth part of the day, all right? So now the second thought is, he says, in part they confessed and worshiped in the Lord their God. So you can't have revival without God's truth being proclaimed, and you cannot have revival if you do not repent from your sin. Look at verse 2 with me again. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And then you see revival begin to break out with them from the truth of the Word of God. So you cannot have revival without God's truth being proclaimed. And you cannot have revival if you do not repent from your sin. You can say, well, I'm sorry. You can be sorry all you want. Amen. But it means nothing until you repent. How many of you have been sorry for some things you've done in your life? And you know, those things that we say we're sorry about, you might come to God and say, I'm sorry. But what we do is we need to repent of that and ask God to forgive us and ask God to help us and ask God to strengthen us not to ever do it again as a child of God. That's what he's talking about for you and for me. We want revival. You want revival. I want revival. He says in the book of Mark chapter 6, verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Repent. Now, and the idea of repentance is not just turning away from, it's having a change of mind. You can surely, people come to the, and I'm glad people need to come to the altar when God deals with their heart. Come to the altar all the time, and it's always the same thing that you're confessing to God, the same thing you're sorry about, the same thing that you're sorrowful about in your heart. And you might really be sorry. Praise the Lord for that. But boy, you need to have a change of mind. God, change my mind, change my heart, God. Move me that I might go in a different direction to serve you and to follow you and to stay away from this thing that hinders me so greatly, so easily, so fast, God. Help me to do what's right as a child of God. You cannot have revival if you did not repent from your sin. Mark 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there's a lot of churches, and that word repentance shows up a lot of times in the scriptures. There's a lot of churches today that don't want that word repent in their messages. They won't preach about repentance. They preach about how good God is, and they ought to. They preach about how much love God is, and they ought to. We ought to hear about the love of God, amen. And we ought to hear those things and be involved in those things and want those things. But it's not just because you preach those things does not mean somebody's repenting of those things they're doing in their life. So we need to come back. I hear pastors all the time say, how do I get my church's attention? How do I get my church's attention? Well, I think it has to go like this. God, begin the revival with me in my heart. Begin it here. Change me. Amen. Help my mind to change that I might do what's right and be obedient to thee. So you can't have revival if you do not repent from your sin. Then you cannot have, number three, you cannot have revival without confession of sin. Not just repenting, but confession of sin. He tells you and I in chapter 9, verse 3, the last part of that verse says this, one fourth part of the day and another fourth part of the day, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they confessed, and as an act of confession, they worshiped the Lord their God. So you want revival, confession has to be involved along with repentance. And that confession does not just stop at the things of God. If you have sinned against man, you need to ask forgiveness from man and from God. If you've sinned against God, man doesn't need to know anything about it, but God already knows about it. Amen. So sometimes people stand up in church services, and I've seen it over the years, and they'll say things like, "Well, would you pray about this for my wife?" I saw a guy actually do this in our church one time. Would you pray for my wife, because she's really struggling with this area in her life? And I think that's a thing. And he's the one that really needed some confession and repentance in his own life, amen, because of some of the things he was doing. But he was always bringing his wife up, you know, would you pray for yada yada because she is hurt, you know, because of this is going on. Would you pray for, you know, or maybe would you pray for, because boy, she really lost her temper at me the other day, you know. Well, if I was married to him, I would have lost my temper every day, amen. So you'd have to know the guy, it's something else. So confession, though, if you sinned against man, you need to confess to man and to God. If you've done something to hurt a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, then you need to apologize to them and ask them to forgive you, and then go to God and ask him to forgive you, because he's the one that saved you by his grace, amen. And if you sinned against God, something in your heart that you, maybe you had a thought like this, you might have said, well, next time I meet them, I'm just going to beat them down, just hammer them down. I'm going to let them have a piece of my mind. Like I said here before, be careful. You might only have one piece left, amen. So you don't want to give that away too. And so, you know, but that's the mentality. That's where we come from. That's our thought life, you know. And so we need to make sure that we are right with God and then right with man. And remember, if you've sinned against man, then you've also sinned against God. You need to confess to both and make it right. It's not just enough to go to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord, because, all right, for instance, I pick on the team boys all the time, especially here, amen. And I pick on my grandson from the pulpit at his church all the time. And he needs it, amen, because he's still... I'm praying for him to get saved yet, but no. So if you've let's say you just treated your parents and said something you should not say, and have you ever done this? You just sort of let it float off, and then God convicts your heart and you say, God, I'm sorry, help me not to do that again. But you still need to go to your parents and tell them you're sorry and ask them to forgive you. Amen? And so that's simple Bible truth. That's just Bible truth. Amen? Now, let me flip that. Parents, if you've done something in your life that has hurt your children that was not justified. I'm not talking about spanking them. Amen. I like to spank boys. I love to spank boys. I used to make my daughters line up in the morning, both of them, and say, come and get your spanking right now. That way I don't have to deal with you later on today. Not really. Not really. But I'm just simply saying, if maybe you've done something or said something unjustifiably to your children, or to the pastor, or to somebody else in the church, and that needs to be dealt with the same way. It needs to be asked. You might say, God, forgive me, I got this rotten attitude, God, and I don't want this attitude in my life anymore. Well, then go to that person you had that attitude about and say, would you forgive me? Because my attitude wasn't right with you. It stunk, amen. Or as the Bible would say, it stinketh, amen. So sometimes things in our life does stinketh, amen. So you can have revival. You can't have it without confession of sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if you say that ye have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that's pretty blatant scripture, right? That's pretty strong. He said, if you say you have, now, by the way, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you study, written to born-again believers. All three of those books, written to born-again believers. And he's telling them that if we say we have no sin, otherwise you say, I don't sin. I actually had a guy tell me that one time. I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong in my life. I said, well, I tell you what, boy, I said, I wish I could follow you around for just 1 week. And I'll guarantee you probably somewhere about every day you're doing something you should not be doing. He said, how would you know? I said, because you're not saved. You're not a born-again believer. You're not saved by the grace of God. And I said, I told him, by the way, here's where we make the misconception. It's not what we do that keeps us out of heaven. It's our sin. It's because you are born a sinner. Amen? But what's the Bible say over there in the book of Psalms? Behold, I was shapen. David says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not what she did. The scripture means that he came into this world a sinner. You came in a sinner. And we need to be saved. I don't care. Whatever you have done in your life, it does not matter. It matters. We should not do certain things anyway. But what I'm saying this, when it comes to salvation, God will forgive anything. Amen? Because it's you, he is forgiving. And we ask forgiveness for the things that we have done, which we need to do, but it's not those things that we do that keep us out of heaven. It's what we do with Christ that keeps us out of heaven. We always need to come back to him and trust him and believe what he says according to his word. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word. One area says truth is not in you. Here he says his word is not in you. Well, I tell you what, or in us. I think we need to understand the scriptures very plainly that sin is something that we need to deal with as the very children of God. Do you want revival? Do you want it? You can't have it without his word being proclaimed. You can't have it without repentance. You cannot have it without true confession. And then I've got written down here, when you have revival, you can worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord. Look at me back in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 3 again. And you come to the end part of that verse, it says, and they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. You know, you can come to church and you can play the part of worship, amen. I mean, you can. You can stand up and sing a hymn. That's part of worship, amen. If you play guitar or piano, that's part of worship. But if there's sin in your life, and you can do that and not be right with God, amen. Amen. I mean, you can stand up here, sister, and sing a song and not be right with God. I don't know if you've ever done that. I'm not saying, and I don't want you to tell me if you have. Amen. I'm just simply saying anybody can. We can. You can stand up here, young man, and sing and lead songs and not be right with God. But that's not true worship. You want to worship God. Make sure your heart's right with God. Amen. Confess those things that are separating you from being what God would have you to be, regardless if it's just a parishioner sitting in a pew, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher, or musicians, or it doesn't matter. Make sure your heart, if you want to worship God, make sure your heart is where God would have you to be, that you might worship him with the honor and glory that belongs to him. When you have revival, you can worship and praise the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 24 with me just for a moment. Let's go to the book of Luke in your Bibles. You know where that's at, don't you? Nehemiah, Luke. Luke. Excuse me, I'm choking on my own joke. Luke chapter 24. I've got to whip my whistle so I can turn my pages. Luke chapter 24. And go down to verse 49 with me. You know, when you have revival, you can worship and praise the Lord. Look at verse 49. And the Bible says this, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were there and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Why? They were in a relationship with God where they could, these two men were meeting with the Lord on the road to Emmaus. They're meeting with the Lord, amen. And all of a sudden it struck them who he was. And then he ascends up in front of them into heaven, you know. And what a passage of scripture. You say, was that the Mount of Transfiguration, Brother Mike? No, No, this is before that, amen. Ascends up. I believe this is probably when he took his blood up before the Lord God after his resurrection. He ascends up to God with his blood and a piece of God for the sins of mankind. And then the transfiguration comes later on as you study the scriptures. So you look at this text, you get to thinking about this for a minute. When you have revival, you can worship and praise the Lord. And listen, and it doesn't matter who's around you, it doesn't matter what situation you're in, doesn't matter where you're at, you're still going to worship and praise the Lord, amen. That's good, because why? That's on your heart. It's on your lips. You can't help but do it, because there it is, amen. And so I don't know. I got to be careful, because sometimes I'll be talking to somebody, and I'll say, "Well, amen, brother. Glad to hear it." And they're not even a brother, amen. Because I always get excited about God. I can't wait to talk about the Lord, amen. And so we need, I don't know what you need, but that's what I need in my life. Look back to Nehemiah now, chapter 9. And then go to verse 31 with me, of chapter 9. And when you have revival, you will want to serve the Lord. Amen. You're going to want to serve the Lord. Look with me here in chapter 9 and verse 31. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, Let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that thou come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all the people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, or our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness and thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers, to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. When you have revival, you're going to want to do something that will cause you, that's what's going on here, to serve the Lord. You're going to want to serve him with all your heart. Like we said in Sunday school, the hot Christian wants to serve God. Amen. And so we need to come to that point in our lives where we would truly desire, I think, to serve God. Watch. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 through, chapter 12, 10 through 11, 10 through 12. Be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That means putting others before you. To prefer somebody means putting them before you. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That means you have a job to do. Don't slough off. Do your job. Amen. Bring honor and glory to God by doing your job the way it's supposed to be done. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's what we're supposed to. You want to serve God? That's what it's going to take. Want to serve God? Confession. Want to serve God? Repentance. Want to serve God? The Word of God. Want to serve God? Follow God. You want to listen. And the result for you is that you can worship God and that you will have revival and you will want to serve the Lord. Amen? Now, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. I know where I'm at. You know, the Lord reminds me all the time where I'm at. And the more you're in the Word, the more you're reminded of where you're at. And the more you're in the Word, the more you see that you need to get things right with God in some areas that you never thought was wrong. Amen? But all of a sudden, God says, no, look at here. Look at here. Decisions in your life ought not to be because the church don't do it, ought not to be because the preacher preaches against it, ought not to be because mom and dad don't like it, ought not to be because my brother or my sisters don't care for it. The reason ought to be because you love the Lord. And you're confessing and repenting and making things right with him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed as we close out this morning for a moment. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you this two questions. The first question is this. How many of you this morning, maybe with an upraised hand, would say, Brother Mike, in Sunday school or in a morning message, somewhere in there the Lord really dealt with my heart about some things. Can I pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. All right. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Amen. God bless you guys. Second question, and I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Second question is this: have you really been born again? If your life ended right now, where will you spend eternity? Could you say, without a shadow of a doubt, 100% for sure, that you have been saved by the grace of God? Can you say that? Amen. If you can say it, stick your hand up. You say it, stick your hand up. You say, I know I'm saved. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You can put them down. If you couldn't raise your hand, I'd love to take a moment to pray for you. I know sometimes people are saved and they don't raise their hand because they say, well, I know I'm saved, Brother Mike. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad. But if you couldn't raise your hand, if you could not raise your hand, and you know you could not raise your hand, and you know you need to be saved, I'd like to pray for you. Could I do that? Anybody right now with an upraised hand saying, Mike, I'm not sure. Can I pray for you? Just stick your hand up in the air, anybody at all. I don't see any hands. I hope you're saved. Father, I thank you for these that raised their hand. And Lord, I know, Lord, you deal with hearts and speak with hearts all the time, Father. And God, that your will and your way would be accomplished in these lives. And Father, you'd be magnified upon high. Father, for these that raised their hand and just simply said, pray for me this morning because God has dealt with my heart about some things. I don't know where it was at in the messages, God, but somewhere in those two messages this morning, you dealt with some hearts. And Father, I just pray that you'd have your will and your way accomplished in their lives, Father. Help them, Father, to want and desire and have revival. That you be honored and glorified now, and we will give you the praise and the thanks. And Father, if someone that's not saved, touch that heart yet, Father. Father, I pray, make them miserable until they come to Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and give you thanks. Amen and amen. All right, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and stand to our feet for a moment. We're not going to have any instruments, but I want to do this. If God spoke to your heart this morning and you said, Mike, pray for me, I want you to slip out of your seat and come on up to the altar. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. If you can't sit on the front, kneel down, you can sit on the front pew. There's nothing wrong with sitting on the front pew. Take care of those things between you and the Lord, whatever the Lord has dealt with your heart.